From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Days after ProPublica published a horrific video of an immigrant teenager dying of the flu through neglect in an immigrant detention center, doctors at the California-Mexico border were arrested for demanding they be allowed to vaccinate detainees. The Guardian reported that licensed physicians arrived at the Chula Vista Border Patrol Station in San Ysidro, California, prepared to operate a free flu clinic for the detained migrants. But Customs and Border Patrol would not let them inside, claiming it was not, quote, feasible to provide the medical care. One of those arrested is my guest, Dr. Marie DeLuca. She's an emergency medicine physician, and she's with the group Doctors for Camp Closure. Welcome to the program, Dr. DeLuca.
Thank you very much.
First, let's talk about what happened Tuesday. You and how many others went down to the border, and what was your goal?
So we actually started this campaign back in the beginning of November. And our goal has always been to be allowed to hold a free flu vaccination clinic for anyone in Border Patrol detention who wanted a flu vaccine. In the early November, a group of seven independent physicians wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services, asking to be allowed access to one of the Border Patrol facilities to trial essentially a pilot program. We have purchased 120 flu vaccinations, and we had all the materials ready to hold a free flu clinic. We asked them if we could be allowed access, and I call this a pilot program because we wanted to demonstrate feasibility of flu vaccinations within Border Patrol custody. We did not get a response back from the Department of Homeland Security or Health and Human Services. We had asked them to respond by November 19th. And at that time, press heard about our letter and began contacting Border Patrol. Border Patrol said that they had no intention of allowing the flu vaccination clinic to happen, and they thought it was unlikely to happen. And so knowing that this is a time when we're starting to see a lot of cases of flu, we became concerned that we're heading into a public health emergency. We know that there's people who are in crowded conditions within Border Patrol custody. We know, given a letter that was written in August by a number of physicians, including one, Dr. Elia Sunderji, who's part of our group, that three children actually died in Border Patrol custody last year from influenza-related complications. And so we became concerned that we have a very narrow time frame to start providing these vaccinations, and Border Patrol wasn't listening to our requests or the recommendations of both the CDC and medical experts across the country. So that's why we decided to take further action and actually go to the border and bring the flu vaccinations in the clinic and say, look, you know, we're here and we're actually ready to set up.
So you went and you were not allowed entry, and you and others were arrested, right?
Correct. So on Monday, we went to the Chula Vista Border Patrol Station. That's actually a location where we know that people are being actively detained. And we had with us 20 licensed California medical providers, including doctors, NPs. We brought with us the 120 vaccinations and a cooler, and all of the medical supplies and consent forms necessary to hold a flu clinic. When we went to the gates, we were not allowed entry, and so we sent two of our delegation, this was on Monday, to meet with Border Patrol officials at the Border Patrol Sector Headquarters in Chula Vista. They met and were told that Border Patrol would discuss more on Tuesday morning. And so Tuesday, we went again, this time to the Border Patrol Sector Headquarters to meet with them and to follow up. And at that time, we were informed that we would not be allowed access. And so that's when we began having the rally outside of the Border Patrol Sector Headquarters.
Now, the Homeland Security Secretary's press secretary, rather, said on Twitter, "Of course, Border Patrol isn't going to let a random group of radical political activists show up and start injecting people with drugs." How do you respond to that?
Well, one of the first things that we thought when we read that was, what would the CDC think of another government organization referring to flu vaccination as injecting people with drugs? The medications that we were bringing are the CDC recommended preventative treatment for preventing influenza. And it's distressing to me to hear a government organization referring to something that's the standard of care with that language.
So, the larger issue, of course, is that the government is detaining people, detaining children, far too many of them in horrendous conditions that include not just the overcrowding aspect, but very cold temperatures, the perfect conditions that allow diseases like influenza to thrive, right?
Absolutely. So, as Doctors for Camp Closure, our ultimate goal is an end to detention. We know that there's no safe or humane way to detain people, and we know that the experiences that people are having within detention facilities, they're experiencing medical neglect, they're experiencing severe cold temperatures, like you were describing, and they're being placed at risk for infectious illness. One of the reasons why we are emphasizing vaccination against influenza right now is because we don't want to see more deaths. Ultimately, we want to see these detention facilities closed and a move towards policies that respect the human dignity and needs of people who are coming across the border seeking, safety and a better life.
And of course, the 16-year-old boy's death, and the report that recently came out, his name was Carlos, the report that came out showing how he died through sheer neglect. I imagine that that lent some impetus to your action.
Absolutely. That was a very distressing video. I think people across the country saw and to see the, suffering that he went through. And as a physician, to see someone that acutely ill and knowing that, we have tools and interventions to prevent that kind of suffering, to prevent that death, and none of that was allowed, and that's still being denied. It's just horrendous.
And I just want to mention that out of respect for the boy's family, we chose not to show the video. They've taken they've said that they're opposed to the sensationalizing of his the la you know his last few hours of his life in the video. But in terms of the cruelty that's playing out, Border Patrol is saying it doesn't make sense for us to vaccinate people who are just going to be spending a few days in our detention facilities. People who are held in the longer term facilities do receive vaccinations. How do you respond to that?
So, first of all, the recommendation is that people receive influenza vaccine at the earliest point of entry. And that's
This is the
in Border Patrol.
CDC's recommendation.
Exactly. That is the CDC's recommendation. And they are the experts on the subject. Secondly, we know that Border Patrol is holding people for longer. So, Carlos, for example, was held for essentially a week, much longer than the 72-hour the 72-hour requirement that people are supposed to be released after that time period. So we know that people are being held for longer. And we know that the influenza vaccine begins providing protection for people very early. So to deny people that protection, to deny people that preventive treatment is deeply concerning.
So the other aspect of this story is that across from the border, where you and your fellow physicians were protesting and got arrested on Tuesday, are camps where massive amounts of migrants are essentially waiting out the adjudication of their asylum processes. The Trump administration's so-called Remain in Mexico policy has forced people to remain in Mexico while they're waiting their cases. But in Mexico, many of them are being forced to live in horrific conditions in tents, where again, disease is spreading, especially as the winter months are coming. I mean, they do not have proper housing. So there's that medical emergency playing out because of US policy right across the border among people who are, you know, who many of whom do have legitimate asylum claims.
Right. We have doctors within our organization who are working in Matamoros, right across the border from Texas, which is one of those large refugee camps that's seeing a lot of issues with public health right now. And that is a direct result of the Remain in Mexico MPP policies of the U.S. government. We've heard people ask why we're not trying to push for vaccinations, for example, across the border in Tijuana. And I think it's important to acknowledge that the problems that we're seeing are ones that are being directly created by U.S. government policy. So to suggest that all of the intervention should then be held across the border in another country really ignores the fact that we're creating these situations by holding people in detention, by putting the people in these conditions. And that's why it's so imperative that we provide the solutions and the protection to people to, you know, solve the problems that we're creating.
Now, I want to pick up on what you just said. Deliberate U.S. policies are causing these issues. We know through revelations made in documents or through media coverage, through the words of officials themselves, that the family separation was essentially a policy of deterrence, a tool to deter migrants, that holding them in detention longer and, you know, just all of these ways, the government seems, under the Trump administration in particular, seems intent on being so cruel to immigrants while they're in the U.S. that they will stop coming to the U.S. They're basically creating conditions as harsh as they can, as cruel as they can, because they see that as a way to deter migrants. I mean, we have a lot of evidence pointing to this. Can you imagine that the U.S. is also, through deliberate neglect, creating conditions for diseases to spread because it provides some sort of deterrent effect?
After spending 3 days now, the 72-hour window, attempting to gain access here in the San Diego County area, and each time being turned away by Border Patrol, we're concerned that, you know, the cruelty is the point here. Mm. Provided a lot of excuses saying that they think that it's not logistically feasible. But part of the point of our flu vaccination clinic was to demonstrate feasibility. The only thing that prevented flu vaccination from occurring in the last 3 days was Border Patrol policy. If they had opened the gate and let us in, we would have been able to immediately provide 120 flu vaccinations and could follow that up with continued vaccination for anyone who needed it on a basis of volunteer and donation support from our large network of physicians, both in California and across the country.
So you have said that your organization, Doctors for Camp Closure, your main goal is to end the detention in general. Offering the flu vaccines is sort of one part of the protest. So what exactly does tell me a little bit more about your organization. How many doctors are there and what would you actually like to see? What does it mean by camp closure?
So we're an organization that started over the summer in the end of July. We have over 2,000 physician members across the country, as well as medical students and members of multiple healthcare professions, including nurses, PAs, NPs, social workers. We are dedicated to advocating for human rights and dignity for asylum seekers and people crossing the border. There are physicians and nurses within our group who provide direct care at Tijuana and Matamoros, as I mentioned, as well as in clinics on the U.S. side of the border. We have people who provide assistance for people who are seeking asylum and perform medical forensic evaluations to document histories of torture, of psychological trauma. And this is something that's very close to a lot of physicians' hearts because We know that the conditions that people are fleeing are very dangerous, very psychologically dangerous as well. And we want people who come into this country to be met with healthcare support and to be welcomed into our communities. Many of our members also come from immigrant communities, from undocumented communities. There are many medical students and doctors who were previously undocumented and came to the US and now are working to serve communities and patients all across the US.
I think that's such an important point. There are, you know, the field of medicine is actually an incredibly diverse one. Anybody who's, you know, who sees doctors regularly here in the US knows how many doctors there are of immigrant backgrounds, you know, not necessarily assuming that they came in undocumented, but many, I imagine, might have come in as undocumented immigrants and obtained legal residency or citizenship. And that's and we have a doctor shortage here in the U.S. I mean, that's a really important point. And yet we live in a country that so routinely maligns immigrants.
Absolutely. People are coming and we want to welcome them into our communities. We think that there's plenty of ways to support people who come to the U.S., and we also know that studies show that if you provide people with legal support and social work support, they actually do very well and, you know, show up to any kind of legal proceedings that are necessary. And so, you know, there are ways to welcome people, to support people, and to support human rights and dignity for people coming to the country. And that's just not what we're seeing right now. We're very concerned about that.
So in terms of closing the camps, there are, of course, other alternatives. And we should mention that the Trump administration isn't the first to rely on detaining immigrants. The Bush administration really did it in a big way. The Obama administration sort of stopped it, then did it, and then stopped it again, did it again. And then the Trump administration just took it so much further. We don't need to detain immigrants, right? They are not criminals. They're not convicted criminals. They haven't been arrested for any crimes. It's a civil offense.
Right. And I think it's important to emphasize for any person just how frightening and psychologically dangerous detention can be. When someone's placed in a cell and has their liberties taken away, very basic things like being able to determine when you are able to eat food, what food you're able to eat, being able to go outside when you wish to, these very basic human freedoms, when we take those away from people, we do active damage when we take them away from adults, when we take them away from children. And so, you know, this is very harmful to people and is absolutely not something that we need to be doing.
And especially when we're talking about children, right? There have been now somewhere between 5 and 6 children, migrant children's deaths in U.S. custody. When you detain somebody, you become responsible for their health and their well-being and their life. And under U.S. detention, you've had at least 5 children die of conditions that might have been preventable. The U.S. is responsible for that. If it continues to detain children in particular, those children's deaths are on all our hands, right?
Absolutely. I also see this mass detention of immigrants as part of a system of mass incarceration that's very harmful to communities across the United States. And I really think that we need to be taking a hard look into what we do when we mass incarcerate people, when we separate families across the country in a multitude of different contexts.
So I'm wondering also whether you think that this particular administration has gotten away with far more than any other administration would be able to get away with. As a doctor who views these issues front and center, do you wish that there was better, greater media coverage of this outrage? You know, we talk about crimes being committed against communities in other countries, but there is this unconscionable crime being committed right here in the U.S. in detention centers at our border and even internally in the U.S. And while there was some outrage about the family separation issue in terms of mass protests around the country, that seems to have died down.
Right, and it's died down, but the issues have persisted. We saw mass protests whenever there's a new revelation about the extent to which these policies are harming people. We see like an upsurge in public outrage and public demand for change, but that isn't being met with real changes. And this is something, the flu vaccination issue is one that's been present for a very long time, and we still haven't seen any change on that, which is why we chose to focus on that issue right now, at a time when it's so incredibly important, because we're starting to see flu cases across the country.
Marie, give out a website where people can find out more about the work you do.
Absolutely. D4CC.nationbuilder.com.
And that's D4CC.nationbuilder.com. We'll post a link to that from our website as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Dr. Marie DeLuca. She's an emergency medicine physician, and she's with the group Doctors for Camp Closure. We've been discussing her arrest alongside the arrest of other doctors at the U.S. border with Mexico in Southern California earlier this week, demanding that detained immigrants be vaccinated or be offered the flu vaccine. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RUWithSonali. Thank you.